2.26 million visitors come to our state. So in thinking about the options, the 20% of the out-of-state workforce might contribute through income tax, and again, that's something we've considered and have supported in the past. But then when I think about the large number of visitors that come to our state, that was one of the reasons I got a little bit more comfortable with the idea of a sales tax. On that same theme of getting comfortable with the sales tax, just looking across the country, of course, people are familiar with this, but 45 other states have a statewide sales and use tax, you know, very bipartisan in nature in terms of the leadership of those states and seeing those implemented. And one of the things we looked a lot at and thought about was what Alaskans spend when we go elsewhere. I know Alaskans love to go to Hawaii if they're lucky enough, and as I thought about it, you know, every time we go to Hawaii, they have the 4% general excise tax, and then they have localities that have additional surcharges that we need to add to that. So what we're doing as Alaskans when we go to these other places is we're contributing to the public services in those areas, and I think similarly, we should ask folks who visit Alaska to contribute to the services that they benefit during their time here. Now that we're far along in the effort of addressing the fiscal plan, one of the other challenges we have is how much revenue could be raised by any single proposal and how soon that revenue could come to the state. And so when I looked across the many different options, definitely in a broad-based proposal, we've typically looked at sales versus income tax. What benefit to the sales tax is you could likely implement it sooner, and you'll see that the effective date of this bill is July 1st, 2022 for that 2023 fiscal year. In contrast, because income taxes are done on a calendar year, if we pass an income tax that we implement a likely date in year 2022, and then taxes wouldn't be due until April, probably of that following year, if we follow the typical calendar. And so really, we wouldn't be seeing the revenue probably until July 1st of 2023 for the FY24 fiscal year. So one benefit would be that you could likely see revenue a full year earlier than the other proposal. And some of the other things listed here I'm going to talk about because I consider it as part of a full fiscal plan. But one thing that the sales tax stands out in terms of who pays, you know, if you look at the categories, Alaskans, out-of-state workers, tourists, and business and rail company, it's likely that everybody would share in the, you know, sort of the revenue piece of this and contribute a little bit to those state services. That's not necessarily true of many of the other categories. And again, in thinking about spreading out the burden. And then also, some of the other ideas that have been considered are just smaller dollar amounts. And so it just makes it a little bit more challenging to kind of fill the gap if we're thinking about trying to fill that gap. And one thing I wondered is how Alaskans would respond if the legislature were to introduce multiple proposals at the same time. It seemed like it would be challenging, you know, to get the public support for maybe 5, 6, or 7 things if we chose to go with items that were smaller dollar amounts, which would be necessary, you know, to get the same amount of revenue. So just kind of in contrast and looking at some of these other revenue measures, you know, there's not only who pays for it and how to spread that burden, but there's how much revenue can be received, and then also how soon, because we do have that time issue with trying to, you know, maybe more immediately bring in new revenue. A big piece of thinking about sales and use tax is what kind of exemptions would you have? And this has been an area for me that I really had to think about because we know that goods and services in many of our small and rural communities are already more expensive relative to our urban centers. And we often hear how the cost of living is cost prohibitive, if you will. You know, that can be a determining factor in people being able to stay in our rural communities. And so we didn't want to do something that was very disproportionately burden of rural communities and low-income families that would be least able to bear that burden. And also, we didn't want to price people out of the communities that they live in. So you'll see in this sales tax kids and other kids incarcerated women in the United States, spending additional $150 million per year on those supports. So I think if we're going to implement a new sales and use tax here in Alaska, that would be a good exemption to consider for the beginning. Other exemptions you'll see included, and it's a quite a long list in there, but there's certain that must be included. So, for example, the state can't tax the feds, the state or an instrumentality of the state, including drugs, can't be taxed by the state. So there are some of those categories that just necessarily must be there. And then others that are included that could be considered or expanded, financial services and nonprofits. We'll talk about that a little bit later with the feedback received. So the list as it exists now is the starting place for the criteria is very much in draft form at this time, and so we welcome feedback on these exemptions. In terms of the management, the bill envisions a streamlined approach for general sales and use tax. And you'll see there are sections of the bill where municipalities and boroughs retain the ability to levy the tax, but then the state would collect that tax and distribute it back to them. And then it also, for lack of a better word, harmonizes the exemptions. And so, for example, in the citywide sales and use tax, since the medicine and the medical equipment that I mentioned are exempt, then those would also become exemptions at the legal level. Without getting into the sectional and David's prepared to do that, just to orient ourselves, it includes Title 28, which is the title about motor vehicles, because it would implement a new 2% sales tax on motor vehicle purchases. It includes Title 29, which is the title on municipal government, because it includes the sections related to changing who collects the tax. So, mostly, again, it would be that the borough or the municipality can levy the tax, but under this proposal, the state would collect it. It also gives local governments the ability to levy and collect certain excise taxes. So those would typically be fuel taxes, alcohol taxes, cigarette taxes, for example. More recently, you may have seen that governments have looked at some of the categories of food products, so things like a soda tax, any of those things. It doesn't remove the ability for local governments to do their specific excise taxes. And then in Title 43, the revenue and taxation title, it adds an entire new chapter 44, the general sales and use tax, broken down into four articles: Article 1, levy and collection of the tax; Article 2, exemptions; Article 3, credits, tax collection and payment; the seller's permit and the retail exemption; and then Article 4 are the general provisions, including the definitions. Again, the way I introduced this was one part of the federal part of the plan. I mentioned in the floor speech the other part of this, but they were all pieces of, with the exception of the ones I introduced, they were all pieces of legislation that had been previously introduced, including two pieces related to the Pullman Fund, the constitutional amendment, and then the legislation that establishes the 50-50 split. House Bill 104 is the fuel tax. House Bill 130 is the last of corporate income tax adjustments. And then the new legislation includes House Bill 3006, which we're talking about today, and then House Bill 3005, which is related to the minimum tax on oil and gas. And then on the budget reduction side, ideas to address the five major public health and public safety crises we have. Now, I know many people in this room today are very interested in seeing us. And to me, that's a really important part of this conversation, because if we say that the budget should remain status quo, to me, that's like accepting that these numbers and rates are okay. And I just disagree with that. I don't want us to be the state that leads the nation in so many of these areas with child abuse, domestic violence, and sexual assault. And we know that these are very costly not only for our state budget, but also costly in terms of our community and opportunity. ready to the end as a way to cover state expenses and not some of your savings being taxes. This is a fairly substantial amount that can be applied to any tax burden. So if you're thinking it's $200 for every $10,000 in spending, you know, you're talking about a $2,350 dividend. So it's upwards of $100,000 in spending that can be covered. And so the reason why you can afford to purchase a really expensive new car, and you know, by extension, you may be a person who's not relying so much on the dividend for your essential expenses, and that larger dividend could just basically be used to pay the sales tax for that, and you know, it's kind of like a win-win scenario in my mind. And so I think it's sort of important to think about the numbers there, along that sort of income scale, if you will, of how it, you know, would impact lower income, working class, lower income families, and how they might be able to use the dividend for, you know, the different expenses for the people who need it more in smaller communities. And then as you get to the higher end of the income scale, where people have been, you know, a little bit more willing to reduce or give up the dividend and not in support of taxes, well, then the dividend could be used to pay the tax on any major purchases, cars, boats, etc. And more recently, we heard from some nonprofit folks to just remind us of the impact of the Pick Quick Gift program and how important that can be for some of our nonprofits. So another benefit might be for the folks who are less reliant on a dividend, that little bit of larger dividend might allow them to have additional dollars that they can make as charitable contributions to nonprofits across the state who are doing really important work. And I just want to close with some other considerations. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is very much in draft form, so in the interest of transparency, I wanted to just share some things that have been brought to our attention since we were able to introduce the bill. There have been discussions about other exemptions, which I'll touch on, you know, what about diapers and other essentials for children, and that there may be options to use a different definition for food, possibly one based off of federal programs, and that might sort of encapsulate all the essentials and also include those items for children. Very open to that discussion. Another conversation we had recently was about estate management necessary. This was based off of the bill from 2015 when Governor Walker drafted his bills and new stamps, and we've learned that there have been some lessons learned since then, and folks might be aware that since then, an online sales tax has been implemented, and so it's required municipalities and rural governments to already implement that new online sales tax, which necessitates them differentiating between the local one that they have and this online one that they have. And I've learned that there's software that helps delineate all of that, and so it may be that state management is not necessary, and it wouldn't be overly burdensome for a municipality to collect the local sales tax that they have, and then the state would just collect the 2% sales and use tax that we're implementing, but it wouldn't be overly burdensome to the business. And that was really good news to me because that's a consideration for us in thinking about this. So that's something I would hope if we're going to have additional hearings, we could get ask the municipal league and other local government leaders online, and we could, you know, share their lessons learned and their viewpoints on that type of management. The other reason that might be beneficial is that this bill envisions harmonizing the exemptions. But for example, if you think about when you go to football over here in Utah, your groceries are taxed. And this 2% statewide sales and use tax is envisioned to exempt groceries. So, you know, there could be an issue there if the local government is relying on the revenue brought in from that currently taxable item. What would happen if that in the future becomes exempt? So splitting that could be the better way to go, as particularly if it really is not burdensome and the accounting software facilitates that pretty easily. And then we had another conversation about 501c organizations. There's currently an exemption for 501c3 organizations. Those are the traditional nonprofits that we think of. But there are actually 29 different categories of 501c organizations, and some that I just highlighted here that I think necessarily interested about having them play a sales and use staff and lead role to fire departments, because throughout Alaska, outside of our municipalities, the fire departments tend to be volunteer fire departments that are nonprofits. So, you know, we know that they might already operate sort of on the margins in terms of their overall operating budget, and so it might make it tough for revenue on a large piece of equipment, for example. So, even with that acquisition, they become cost prohibitive in terms of achieving public safety for Alaskans. Another category are veterans organizations. Some of those are 501c23 organizations. Some of them fall into a couple of other categories, but again, just as an example, Chamber of Commerce, other fraternal organizations fall under different categories of 501c organizations. So I just want to share, again, these are some of the other considerations that have been brought to us. We hope that this will be a very collaborative process. Reflecting back on the University of Hospital 111, which was a pretty complicated piece of legislation, and I think in total there were probably more than 40, maybe even 50 hearings on that bill before the final passage between the House and the Senate. I think similarly, a bill like this might require many hearings. So I'm glad that we're getting the first one done today, but you know, these are certainly items I think should be considered in any future hearings, and you know, hopefully we would have the opportunity to bring in some of the folks that speak to these different items, and we'll continue sharing any additional information that we receive from folks as we go forward. And so thanks to them for the PowerPoint presentation. But I know, as I mentioned, David is prepared to do the sectional, if that's what you would like to do, like this one first level.
All right, are there any questions for the candidates?
The estimate that we have received is actually the Department of Revenue right now that you were going to use in the second part, but they've said about $300 million per year when it's fully implemented. And that's why I think that conversation about the different exemptions is really important. Like, for example, I think that maybe we're more inclusive with 501c organizations, you know, having that impact that. And, but that's the estimate we have about $300 million.
Thank you. Have you done any sort of analysis on higher priced items? I don't know, at some point, the 2% even becomes a significant part of the decision, if not to buy it, to perhaps purchase it out of state, for instance, if you want to buy a bullet cap to fight an example. 2% additional charge might cause you to buy it out of state to avoid the tax. And automobiles in the bottom left on as far as recreational vehicles.
Thanks, Representative. That was why it was important to look at what other states have those taxes. So, sort of in our general vicinity, if you will, more than has an income tax in those sites. So, you know, maybe someone would consider that. But then the other ones are Delaware, Montana, and New Hampshire. So, you know, if you were going to buy an automobile, for example, and you have to transport it from New Hampshire to Alaska, I'm not sure it wouldn't become more costly to get it from point A to point B than it would be for that 2% tax. That's one consideration. And the second is looking across the state, in some of the localities that have a tax, they have a cap. And for example, it's 2% or could be up to, you know, the amount of dividend, for example, you can say 2% or up to $2,350, or you can say 2% or up to $1,000. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, and it would be good for us to help the public revenue, be able to help us sort of think about that in terms of how to adjust that $300 million number. But I think that is that's the way we could possibly address that so that we didn't sort of inspire that kind of behavior. And I know previously Alaskans used to possibly things change, like policy. So right now, if you purchase something in the state of Washington, you do have to pay the sales tax, and there's a process by which you can apply to get that refund. And I've heard from a few different people now on that, but basically people aren't using that anymore because, you know, it's become a difficult process or may not be worth it. So, you know, as far as our closest neighbor, that opportunity may not be eliminated. And then again, like I said, there are those other states, but between thinking about the overall cost and the potential opportunities for PAC, I think that might be the thing that people would be most interested in, is sort of, you know, having a top end PAC for that. I think those would be, you know, too many for us to consider that.
Thank you. and 300 panels down the road. There's a lot for RCCPP. Students may not burn a lot of your journal files, tactiles, and maybe use tactiles for residential consumption, personal property, and for your support and umbrella. And the use tax is a unique amount, so tax rate. Section 11, where PMS ASK 94563 PC, the rate of seeing the state that the state shall administer and collect the general files of use tax. So the rules for this tax will include the guideline provided under PS 40B and 44, which is going to be the new chapter about the state sales of use tax. And this language is intended to harmonize Title 39 with the exemptions and claim procedures that are going to be describing in PS 4344. Section 12 amends NF 2945 to add a new section, PS 2945-65. So this substance gives the promote and levy and collect sales of excise taxes on specific categories of property services, and the first three of such items was granted earlier. For some examples, would be debt taxes, clerical taxes, liquor taxes, cereal taxes, fish taxes, medical taxes, and municipality of hospitals. Section 13 amends LS 2945-660A, and we're going to reference the borough's collecting general sales and use tax. And this also requires borough's collecting general sales and use tax permit to provide notice for the tax rate on the website of the borough, in addition to the local newspaper. So this is just updating existing statute to modernize the website. And of course, notice can put it in the borough, they can put it in a public location. Section 14. PS 2945-700 is written in the manner that the city of Michigan is doing this tax proposed under PS 2945-660 with the same limitations. Section 15 amends PS 2945-750B to remove references to municipalities collecting a sales tax on mobile telecommunications services. This is an example of being responsible for the state. Section 16, PS 2945-810A is amended to remove references to collection taxes by municipality on your contract about permit. It allows us to get a tax development act, which is PS 4382. This is another example of another tax that will not be collected by the state. Section 17, PS 4305-240A. Is amended to include the revocation or suspension of a seller's permit or resale exemption certificate. So these will be discussed in the Creative 144 over the next week. But this is private movements that can be appealed to the Department of Revenue. And then Section 18 addresses the big one that adds Chapter 44 or Title 43, which is related to taxation. And this is not what it is, it's the sales of use tax. So we're going to go through the articles here. Article 1 creates the 2% statewide sales and use tax. So it says in 4.3.4.0.1, you said 2% sales and general sales tax on the sale of this intangible personal property and the sale of services. It also levies a use tax on persons using the tangible personal property or services acquired after July 1st, 2022, meaning that the property services does not have a sales tax if purchased in Alaska. Section 3344.2.1 states that the Department of Revenue shall collect municipal sales and use tax levy on the market as 322.50 and remit the proceeds to the greater municipality. States that the sales and use taxes will be imposed on the purchaser of a vehicle service or personal property, but the seller will be responsible for applying, collecting, and paying the tax to the Department of Revenue, and that the tax collected shall be held in trust for the state. Section 3344.040 states that if the sales price is below the value of a vehicle service or property, or if there's a tax due, even if it's held in the car, the use tax will be imposed on the untaxed value of the property of the owners. Again, wholesale real estate fund. And the sales parcel can occur at the time of acquisition, introduction to the state, or conversion to use, whichever happens first. Section 43, for example, 0A, states that the seller collects excess sales from his tax, the excess will be committed to the Department of Revenue, can't keep that. Subsection B states that the seller will list all sales tax separately. It's for leaving the deed as a separate line or receipt, just listing the sales tax. Other than sales tax for options for employer, other categories like money machine sales, commission fees, taxes, fares, etc. Subsection C states that sellers can't advertise to the member states or public customers that the sales tax will be absorbed or refunded. So the retailer can't tell people in their advertising that they will be paying for the sales tax if you buy something from them. For instance, and then section 43 and 44, and it says, goes to that the user of the property subject to the use tax is liable for payment of the use tax. All of these persons don't believe that this is allowed. You are going to Article 2, which is delays all the exemptions to the sales and use tax. Labor products, based on our presentation, sales by access during the use by the federal government, the state or the federal government, which can explain all of the data, and then the corporation that's exempt from taxations by the federal and state nonprofits, and all examples of tax. These problems are exempt from tax outside of utility sales. Union payments are exempted, such as state licenses and permits are exempted from the sales and use tax. Food intended for human consumption of the premises of the store, so talking about groceries, would be exempted from tax. And this does not apply to businesses or material technology prepared. If there's any on the premises, so restaurants, things like that. And then alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana are also not exempt from this tax. The next category of exemptions would be wages, salaries, commissions, and other forms of payment or areas for services such as including financial assets such as stocks, bonds, securities, dividends, and payments from these assets, of course, to sell those assets and associated fees. If you are paid by an employer to an employee, you have to come from this tax. And then also, fees for financial services, such as store deposit accounts, purchase accounts and currency, fees, etc. That's exempt from the tax. Basically, or occasional sale or misappropriate services for people who do not regularly engage in the sale or use of that body part, they're exempt from the tax. So, in other words, the nice way to sell those will be some way to give control of one type of rep sale or something on Facebook or Craigslist, they would not be subject to the tax. And then, if there's a personal sale, an example would be a nonprofit that has maybe an annual fundraiser or the election or something, and maybe there's no sale of the building, then it doesn't have to be purpose or organization, so that would also be exempt. Personal tax, that is the state for personal residents, for individuals or non businesses, and it also affects property and non residents. Temporarily, the state are exempt from this tax. So, in other words, this doesn't bring you when you move here. Subject index. Sales for resale, this will be exempt. Given the possession of a resale exemption certificate, so we'll talk more about that later. Services between affiliated persons under their involvement, I assume that these are limited by return to the exempt from this tax. Transactions between card holders who have been in here for business will be making the tax. Sale based on the government approval property, your differentiated treatment and opposing banking will be checking the tax. Jet fuel, so if you're using international flights, you'll be checking the tax just if it's applied to your station estate. Insurance premiums, there are many tax on your base 21 and 1 through 10, and this is the tax on insurance. That's the tax on the tax, because it's already been managed. The transportation handling and storage are related sources of property that is being transported across the lines, or the natural will be exempted from tax once again, jurisdiction issues. Several health care services and products are also exempted from tax, so health care services provided by a certified or licensed professional under penalty, or provided by a health care facility or without drugs or medical equipment. Mobility and using equipment or prophylactic equipment provided through a licensed professional health care facility is exempt. And then other hygiene products like tank clothes, honors, national pets, sanitary napkins, other similar products, approved for the period tax, that are considered tomorrow's mentioning earlier, those are also exempt. Clinical services are also exempt from the tax, and heating oil is exempt from the tax. So there's our sanctions.
Okay, so if I have to set up for that, if not for the time that we have about, one second meeting with a health server that presentation at 2 p.m., so if we don't make it to the section earlier, we'll put the section on a later date.
Okay.
Right, that should be it.
Okay.
Right,
so now let me go to number 30. This is talking about the service permits we saw exemptions from the permits. 3344.8 states that if a particular speed sales that is attached to another state on the internet service or again personal property, that will be credited to the Alaska tax liability. So if you've already bought paid sales tax in another state, you're going to be responsible for the difference. If it's above the number, it would be Alaska tax liability. 3344.8 are applied for business systems and moving business in Alaska. Must obtain a service permit and then this letter. That is going to an application. 44100 includes sales for refunding of tax, according to the be just regularly up there in wholesale for purposes of selling at the store. But in order to get that exemption, they'll have to get a certificate issued under 3344.1 and present it to the town of and then 44110 pays balance for that effort of increasing the service certificate. 44120 provides guidelines for removing dates and being the size of the certificate or resource exemption certificate. And then, and then 44140 states that if property purchased using a resource exemption certificate is commingled with property that's identical or very similar, and that is not purchased with a certificate, then the mass of all that property is going to be treated as the property purchased under the resale exemption certificate until the client is sold and purchased through them, finally listing the certificate. So, after all, you're going to go in from administration to continue to the clients. So, 44115 states that the sales of these tax liability remains a public tax and pays the proper revenue. 43.4.16 states that the seller of the tax permit is responsible for reporting and presenting this tax to the same accounting method that they would use for federal tax reporting. This provides consistency for auditing purposes. 43.4.17 states that the seller must collect the data tax monthly along with filing a tax return. 43.4.18 eliminates different methodologies for payment of tax. And accounting, such as using rounding, there's a discipline set up in that case instead of having to do a 100% total audit. 190, employees receive their deducting debt debts for sales that are going to be worthless, and that those qualifications are under federal guidelines. But if you collect later on that bad debt and the seller wants to remove the sales tax, they may not collect them. 43.4 is a very prevent an allowance of $75 on one percent of the cuts, which are actually our assets number for timely filing. Section 33.44.10 about security, for the proponent of money being allowing the department to acquire a security deposit from seller. And there is a ability to require both of maybe the department's determines that someone has certain issues with the other types, they can impose this. So the deposit may not be more than a license estimated tax liability or $10,000, whichever is less. And then the deposit may include property, which may not be optioned by the department. It's required seller to develop bond to guarantee solvency, or if it requires a tax or not, but personal guarantee and assume liability for the given tax. Article 34.20 states that within 10 days of selling part of their business or transfer ownership of the business or disposing of their main inventory, the seller must file and pay their tax liability, but also file for tax liability if he did it as a successor. 43.44.30 states that the seller's tax liability and employees will become personal debt, and an individual will be required to file a return under NS 43.44.70. If the representative of an estate should be classed as not reserving enough assets that they use state sales tax liability, the representative will become personal liable. Article 44 provides the public purchasing guidelines, 44-50. Says that the Department of Revenue will enter into the screening sales and use tax agreement, which is the same national standards for regulations that modernize the collection of sales and use taxes. And by creating this uniform standard, it really aids in facilitating online sales, for instance, and more interested cooperation. 44-60 states that the Department of Revenue will be participating in cash sales and use tax administration, facilitating and cooperation with other states, and are participating in sales and use tax agreement. Additionally, the department can use electronic forms for filings, signatures, and authentications. And then 43.4300 is the list of the definitions and terms used in this chapter. So that makes it easy. And then section 19, and the rest of it is housekeeping. AS 44-64-0A is intended to include a necessary thing in the chapter 44. Section 10 repeals a couple of different statutes that align with the implementing legislation. Section 21, it's a little bit confusing, but my understanding of what's legal, it repeals references to AS 2945-750 in Article 2945-60A, as will be implemented in the future. It's just I guess we'll just couple of steps in the collecting process just to more of a personal legislation. Section 22 has some things that we can have on all of this. So if you want to give the Department of Revenue the regulatory authority necessary to implement the sales and use tax requiring municipalities that come in upon the general sales and use tax to conform to the new regulations on July 1st, 2022. And an exemption for residential contracts and agreements will be within 12 months of the effective date from the tax. Section 23 states that Section 22 takes effect immediately. And then Section 24 is the effective date of July 1st, 2022.
Who are afternoon. My name is Nicole Adams. I'm the Deputy Director of the Tax Division at Department of Revenue. Tonight, Claudia will list out some current bills set up for the legislature. The legislature will introduce in the form that follows. Thank you.
Thank you.
510 is our HV 110. That is the bar that I have to do that the top that leads to that is known as the increase in the edge from the beginning. So this bar has been added by Representative Cannon in April of 2021. And this bar has two primary changes. The first change is that it raises the edge to 21 for those who can legally purchase cigarettes and tobacco products. And then the second change is that it creates an excise tax on electronic smoking products and was taxed in the same way as other tobacco products under AS 4350-25. The tax rate would be 75% of the wholesale value of the electronic smoking products. And those products are not currently subject to any of the supply taxes from tobacco products. And I'll turn it over to Mr. Sickles to talk about the sales tax.
Sure, that's our third sector check down on this for the last department.
Yeah. moving on to Jerry Sackey, which is a Victorian property tax bill that was introduced by Senator Bagich this year, and we'll have a hearing for it. That's currently the assessment on the deduction from the property taxes only, using that at a statewide level, and that tax is 29.2%, and that's just the currently municipalities to tax differences up to that 29 rate, and the amount that municipality taxes is a credit towards the payment of the state. Some municipalities are a bit less than some of the higher. After the tax, the difference on the property is on unorganized borrowers and all of that is still for the state. So what this bill does is it increases the tax by 1% or the 10 mill rate, and that additional amount cannot be used as provided a section of the utilities. This is about $278 million for this additional.
Not only the rest of existing property income tax bracket,
carriers, such as Flight Operators and Airlines. And the first thing that comes to mind is really the disruption of the company's business activities and how they impact the state. Creating a new modified assessment framework for hiring and trust is a big priority between affecting other businesses and those businesses conducting significant economic activity and harassment without them stepping on our schools and
it's not what this actually means to modernize even the same company.
to, like, really, like, differentiate between our sex trying to do and learning. And so then, another option would be to, just change that definition of what relevant is and under that, part of that is, how do they define our work? So in the summary, so far from the time under that, 2355, is that someone is using language in, production, but you don't have actual production. So there's, different avenues for language, entity, and then,
Thank you. I understand the fact that you're not
ready for my
information.
something that was readily put around a personal limit should be that we're safe with our bounces apart from a measure like that. That's something that the Washington State Administration supports. Because that would be these slides, starting the slide I have on the slide,
I'm not going to have a section of the Thank you.
Thank you.